be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In times of peace, Bethlehem is about a two-hour walk away from Jerusalem, just a little farther than we are right now from the ferry terminal or the hospital. It's not exactly a world away, even in the time of Christ. Herod could have taken a leisurely walk there in the course of half a day if he was short for some reason of horses. I remember when I was a young child, the first time that I heard the story of the Magi, how they first meet with Herod and then go and present themselves to Christ. I couldn't tell how stars could guide you much of anywhere, and I wondered why it was that Herod didn't simply go with the Magi on their journey. I imagined it to be a long one, even though it wasn't, but it seemed like it must have been a journey worth taking. But instead of joining them, instead of going out to that place, he asks the Magi to come back and to tell him what it is that they have found. But he didn't need them to. Bethlehem was at most a few thousand people and probably much smaller still than that. And he certainly had the resources to be able to send his own people out to go and find the Christ child if that's what he really wanted. We don't even, after all, have to speculate. A few verses beyond the end of our gospel this morning, Herod sends his forces out to kill every child found in Bethlehem 2 years old or younger, what we remember as the massacre of the holy innocents, the first people to be martyred for Christ. I imagined when I was a child the Magi traveling by night with the heavens themselves opened up to them, with the kind of clear skies where the stars and the moon seemed to press down with their fantastic light. Probably when I was hearing the story, the moon was lighting up the forest, the field, and the lake beyond the window in the room in which I heard it. And while Herod has to indiscriminately slaughter every last infant because he has no idea of what he's looking for. The Magi seem to know precisely where to go. They proceed directly to the place where Mary waits with Christ at her side, and they know exactly what they are seeing. Like so many of the outcasts and outsiders that adorn the stories of Christ's ministry, they immediately get it. They apprehend the presence of the divine in their midst. They pay homage to the holy. But I suppose the child must have gone unnoticed by others in the town, or word would have made its way back to Herod. But the Magi in being there are able to take notice and to see things as they really are. The Magi embody a way of knowing that's not quite open to Herod as he sits in his courts. They're led by stars and dreams. They present infants with embalming spices and incense and riches. And these are not the kind of things you typically take for a child, but they are things with which Christ needs to become deeply acquainted. And those who acquaint themselves with stars like the Magi, whether in the ways of astronomy or astrology, seem somehow to be better attuned to what God is up to in the world than those who follow the fortunes of palace intrigue and the rising stars of political power. The Vatican astronomer, Brother Guy Consolmagno, talks about his work with the stars, and in particular his work as a science communicator, as being about wanting to instill in people a sense of being at home in the universe. And that's a profound thing, actually. As humans, we are so often creatures of walls and certainly floors and ceilings, so well attuned to things of our own making by which we divide up and make sense of the world. The ground beneath our feet and the heavens beyond our heads become sort of invisible to us if we ever even notice them at all. And we certainly don't think of the heavens beneath our feet, but on the other side of this rock on which we make our home, there are more stars, more heavens, more of a cosmos strewn with miracle and mystery and wonder. And in the midst of these vast expanses, in the midst of these shining stars, is our home. But we live our lives with our attention tuned to other things. And so, like Herod, we miss out on so much that is at work beyond our walls, our ways of knowing. We point the telescopes of our attention towards the markets, celebrity, politics. And we all too rarely cast our gaze to such wondrous, ordinary things as stars. And this week I find myself caught up in the childhood reverie of this story, this immense journey which was somehow shorter than I imagined. And the time and space of it seem sort of mixed up and baffling. How easily we imagine the Magi stumbling upon the manger scene. We even see it here in our creche this morning, even though our gospel this morning tells us that it may have been as much as 2 years from Christ's birth when they finally made their way to him. I wonder what all happened in those 2 years. And somehow Mary and Joseph seem to still be adrift in Bethlehem, this in-between place, after the impossible birth of their wondrous son. It's all sort of simultaneously immense and intimate, very slow and very fast. And I wish that I could honestly say that had I been there, I would have let myself get swept up in it. I would like to have seen whatever it was that the Magi found in Bethlehem, in the sky, and in the home. And I would have liked at least to have joined them for the short trek from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, and perhaps even have followed them back by another road to make sense of that journey that changes them, that would have, I hoped, changed me in kind. But I know full well that I am a creature of walls and floors and ceilings,
These days I find the moon to be too much when it beats down upon me through windows and skylights in my home when all I want to do is sleep. How would I have fared in those vast expanses that they did cross, the Magi on their journey back to wherever it was that they were headed, some point to us unknown, whether Persia or China or some place forgotten altogether? I faithfully chalk the doors of my home each year at Epiphany, and I'm delighted that we are all invited this year to chalk the doors of our homes, and this, our spiritual home. This time at the beginning of the year, this season that marks the early pages of the calendar, is full of all these ways that we try to set our intentions for the year ahead. There are those who make resolutions each and every year, kept or unkept. There's this sense in the changing quality and quantity of the light from the star we know most well that we are moving towards new life, that things depleted are even now being renewed. And the chalking of the doors at this time has seemed to me at times like a bit of childhood magic, like a mark of protection and presence of some kind of transcendent comfort. Those well-marked lintels can become like a fortress for the heart, the mind, and the soul, a marking and a promise of safety and home and respite set against the clang and clamor of the world. But this year I find myself hoping that the whole thing might be turned upon its head. Rather than a mark of home set apart, I long for it to be a sign of being at home in the universe. Rather than being a place which might be visited for a fleeting moment by the Magi or by Christ, I want home and this, our spiritual home, to be the place from which the Magi return, the place which nurtures Christ for his ministry, for his life, which sends him out into the world. For myself, perhaps for you, and maybe even for this community, I feel a sense, perhaps in the aftermath of this long pandemic time, of the pendulum which swings between going inward and looking outward, especially at this time in Epiphany. I hear the exhortation to listen, to look for the movement of the stars, and to venture boldly into those places where we are led, even when it doesn't quite make sense. And rather than a blessing which makes the walls impervious, I long for a blessing which lets the walls fall away, which makes the ceiling and the floor transparent, even if it costs a little sleep. Herod knew the gift of a place that you don't have to leave, but the Magi knew the gift of journey and return, even when the journey leaves you vulnerable and exposed, even when the journey carries you to a strange land, even when the journey changes you. All of our lives swing back and forth on this pendulum between contemplation and action, between interiority and gazing, and even running outwards. Neither of these is actually better than the other, but the movement between them is where life really happens. The movement between them is a beautiful thing. And perhaps this year, for you, the blessing is, in fact, to find doors which can securely hold your joy and your pain and give you a place of salvation and refuge. And perhaps for you this year, it is for the doors of this place to be flung wide open, for the doors of your home to be opened, for encounter with the stranger, for the invitation to adventure. And so may we be at home in our hearts, those places deep within us of prayer and yearning and waiting. May we be at home in our houses and our dwelling places, that they might be opened to friend and stranger. May we be at home in the universe and make our journeys with confidence and intuition and awe wherever they may lead us. May we find that place in our worlds in which the light increases and new life comes, and there offer our whole selves to the children of God, in whose presence we are confronted by the holy and evermore transformed. Amen.